Good evening. I'm going to try to work with some electronics tonight, so bear with me. Hopefully we don't have a disaster and I don't eat up too much time. But anyway, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, we have to share the word. Heavenly Father, may we, our hearts be attentive and may you just work through us, Heavenly Father, to bring your word as you would see fit. Lord God, guide and direct in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, one of the things I want to bring right up front is we're going to make an assumption here. And the assumption is from other passages and from the teachings and everything that we all believe that God is the supreme authority. If you don't, take it up with the pastor after church. All right? So we'll go from here with that. This passage here we'll read is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by man, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were appointed." Okay, now then, a couple things we need to get out of the way. First off, this my topic here is Jesus the stone. Okay, so it's kind of a metaphor. All right, so just so that we all are clear, what's a metaphor? All right, definition: a figure of speech in which a team a term or phrase is applied to something to which it is not literally applicable in order to suggest a resemblance. I hope I didn't butcher that too bad. It's something that's supposed to look like something, okay? Secondly, we're going to be running through some things here. Cornerstone. For those of you who aren't builders, let's look at this. An important quality or feature on which a particular thing depends or is based. Foundations, basis, keystone, mainspring, mainstay, linchpin, the bedrock, the base, backbone, key, centerpiece, core, heart, center, and crux. Those are definitions of the cornerstone. Okay? Keep those in mind. Another thing that came to my mind that through this that I thought was important was the word sanctuary. Okay? Let's look at sanctuary. Sanctuary, a sacred holy place, a biblical tabernacle or temple, a place of refuge, immunity afforded by the refuge in such a place. I keep those in mind. Those are three terms that will hopefully help us to understand these things just a little bit better as we go through this. Okay? All right. Well, in the Old Testament, the Messiah was spoken of as being the stone. So we want to get a little history here just so you know where we're going. The stone that was talked of in the Old Testament in Isaiah 8:14, it says, "He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, both to the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." Also in Isaiah 28:16, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a stone foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily." Okay? So, there's a little history. Before Jesus came on the scene, he was spoken of as he is going to be the stone. So now here we are in the New Testament. Peter's giving us evidence that Jesus is the stone. Some of the things we're reading here, you know, we think of a stone maybe, it's a rock. You know, some people made the comments, I got a pet rock. You know, it's a rock. It lays around, doesn't do anything. That is not the case here. We are associated with a living stone. Jesus Christ is the living stone. He's invincible, everlasting. He's our protection. Jesus is the foundation of all our hopes and happiness. He communicates the true knowledge of God. We have access to God by Him. Now, this is where we need to be patient with me, see if I can make this thing work right. Do a little scripture catch up here on a couple of things and see what we can come up with. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, it says, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So we're seeing here, God has given this over. He's given authority to the Son, okay? Another passage is John, and we're going to go to John 14:6, okay? John 14:6 says this, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" And also another passage here we want to touch on is Ephesians, and that would be chapter 1, verse 3. And it says, chapter 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." So once again, we see God being the blessed Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has passed to him all the authority, all the things that we have access to. We have it through him, Jesus Christ. Okay? Not on our own. Let's don't ever get consumed with that we're doing it on our own. Okay. It spoke here that the stone was rejected. We understand men's rejection of the stone. Sin separates us from God. We don't have any fellowship with God. So we understand the rejection there. Sin, darkness has no association with light. One thing I found was kind of interesting, I didn't get developed, and we don't have time to touch on it here, was the rejection of the Jews. And just to throw this out, I didn't really think about it. But the Jews partially rejected Jesus Christ because they were looking for an earthly massive, big temple, all the pomp and circumstance and all that stuff that went along with it. And Jesus was preaching that he is the living temple, he's the living stone, and all of us that are believers in him are living stones as well with him. And they were totally in rejection of that. No. We got to have this big temple. So there was just some things there I found that was interesting, food for thought. You can check into that if you want. In Ephesians, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, I believe. It says, "In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Let's think about that. Let's read it again. "In him," Jesus Christ, "in him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Now that ought to sink in, ought to get a hold of us. God is going to dwell within us through Jesus Christ and the empowerment that we have through the Holy Spirit. We just don't get that. I don't. And it's, anyway, we could spend a lot of time there. So we're a living temple. Christ is a living temple. We're part of Christ, so we're a living temple. It's a divine, the living, holy place, living dwelling place for God. And we are held together by the Spirit of God. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to have, it speaks here, I believe, to have spiritual sacrifices and so forth. And what spiritual sacrifices? Do we think about that much, spiritual sacrifices? It's body, it's soul. It's our affections, our prayers, our praises, and so many other things. Are we offering them to God? Are we subjecting them to His rule and the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Okay, and another thing here in verse 6, it says, "Behold, the stone." Another passage we want to look at is Ephesians 2:19. Let's see here. It says, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the house of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." One of the things I found very interesting in some of the descriptions of the cornerstone, and it fits so well with this. One of the descriptions of a cornerstone is it's a primary, specific, special stone that's set that connects two walls. Randy probably gets this, being an architect, but it connects two walls. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. Christ is the cornerstone. We're over here. God's over here. He connects us together. Wow, isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. We're connected to God through Jesus Christ. That's just absolutely amazing. I thought, wow, that is, if I don't get nothing else out of it, whoo, praise the Lord. You know, so it was really good. Okay, and an interesting thing here too, there's a lot of praises to be gotten out of this. And shame on the pastor for giving us something that we could have spent days on. But anyway, that's what you have to kind of condense this to a few minutes. In Matthew 21, verses 42 and 44, we'll read that there. Right, Matthew 42:44. Okay, Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, a stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to the people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on the stone will be broken into pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." So it's telling us that, you know, those that are believers, man, we got a lot to praise about. Those that are sinners, judgment. Just plain and simple. So it's a stumbling block to them. They don't want to believe it. They don't want to be accused of it. So it becomes an offense to them. And that's what the scripture tells us here in our main passage, a stumbling block, being disobedient to the word. Jesus Christ is the word. So, wrapping this up, what we'll try to do here, got three little applications or things that I think we need to think about. Assurance. Assurance is one thing. And God put him in place. When I said earlier that we all have to understand that God is the supreme authority, okay? God put Jesus Christ in place. Man had nothing to do with it. We didn't have any part of it. God put him there. So God has the supreme authority. He set Jesus Christ up. He put him there for the purpose of bringing us into the fold and working that. So he gave, and through Jesus, God gave him all things. We read in an earlier passage, "I have given to him all things." So he, Christ, has the power. As the authority. And in 1 John, let's take a peek at that. Let's see. Okay, 1 John, I think that is 11 through 13. Let's see, 1 John 5, 11 through 13. "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whosoever has the Son has life. And whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So we have assurance. God has given us this assurance through Jesus Christ. Secondly, this is a spiritual thing. We are part of the living stone. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Okay, Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Here again we're seeing that the Holy Spirit lives within us. We are considered a temple. We're a living stone. We're a temple. The Holy Spirit lives within us, and so that thus empowers us to live a God-like life. That's our spiritual part. Then the last point is to live life with authority. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And let's go to John 14. 14:26, I believe it is. 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. There's a command. He's going to teach us. The Holy Spirit's going to teach us. So we're not doing this thing on our own power. If we would, we'd all be failures. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we have any success whatsoever. So that's one. He's a teacher. Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13 says this. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Assurance. We've lived a life of authority, and we've got assurance that we're sealed in that family of Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about things. We're sealed there. So that should give us great authority. And when we're living our life and living and testifying and showing the Spirit of God through the way we live, we're sealed. You know, we've got nothing to worry about. Our destiny is complete. Now we've got a job. Now we've got a duty to go perform. And lastly, in Jude, and it's verse 20 and 21. It says here, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of your Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. So that should give us some serious things to think about. And these are the things we can work through in our daily lives. We have assurance. It's a spiritual basis. And we can live life with authority. Thank you.